Mindy Escobar-Liance creates puppets and characters for new and existing work. Currently, there's a production called Alebrijes on the way for which she is creating puppets and characters. She's also done puppetry in New York, off-Broadway, and internationally, and is commissioned by several companies to make puppets or as a consultant for puppet performance. Here to talk puppetry with us is Mindy Escobar-Liance. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thanks for having me.
I don't think I've ever said the word puppet as much as I have, just like in this introduction.
I have to say, too, I generally keep it out of like the first part of a conversation with people because we won't get anywhere else. If I like drop the bomb of puppeteer in the first 5 minutes, then that's where the conversation goes. And so.
Right. I mean, do you ever get tired of talking about puppetry?
I love talking about puppetry. And I think it's just an amazing art form that people know just the tip of the iceberg too. I get self-conscious because I will start talking about it and then I don't know how to stop. So that's where it goes too, because not many people have met puppeteers before. We're kind of a strange breed of people.
Tell us about your background and your story. I consider you an El Pasoan. I don't know if you consider you an El Pasoan, so I'll let you tell us.
I definitely consider myself an El Pasoan. I was born in Dallas, but we moved to El Paso when I was only a year old. So yeah. I grew up here. I went to elementary school, middle school, high school, and then I spent 1 year at UTEP before moving to New York. And I was just really, I was driven. I really wanted to move to New York. I really wanted to pursue acting. And I have been acting since I was a little kid. I started at the JCC. I was in Kids and Company for many, many years. I did UTEP Dinner Theater. I knew it's what I wanted to do. So I was driven to go and chase my dream. I lived in New York for 13 years and then the pandemic hit. But beautifully, my partner was already back here in El Paso working at the university. And so to come back here to El Paso felt like a big hug. It's really been a wonderful thing to come back to this community to see how it's grown and changed. And my Jewish community is very strong here. So I feel very embraced here.
I love it when creative people especially leave and come back and bring that experience with you, because you could be a puppeteer here, but I imagine there's nothing like having that New York, off-Broadway, international experience and having that lens and then coming home.
Absolutely. And the thing is that I didn't seek out to be a puppeteer. Mm-hmm. There are some people who are like, I've watched The Muppets and Sesame Street ever since I was little, and that's what I want to do. I didn't even realize it was a real job, I'll be honest. I always say puppetry found me. I was good at movement. I was good at creating character. And this made the perfect kind of salad bar of a new profession for me. And it was my partner who was working at the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center at the time. She had just experienced the National Puppetry Conference. At the time, you know, it's all in the zeitgeist, right? So I had been given a puppet. I was playing with a puppet. I was just teaching myself how to do this. She came to visit me and said, oh, you're good at that. We should get you trained in that. And so it was really her push that sent me into the field of puppetry. And I'm so grateful for it because it opened up so many new avenues for me. I formally trained in Chinese rod puppetry. So something I wanted to talk about is that we as Americans living in this country, we really think of puppetry only as the Muppets or Sesame Street, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful art form. And it's a beautiful form of puppetry, but it's really only the beginning. There's so much more out there. So there's Chinese puppetry, there's Japanese bunraku, there's Indonesian shadow. There's so many forms of puppetry. And I started getting really inspired by what puppetry could do as a storytelling element. It just snowballed. It really did. And now I'm almost 10 years later, and now I'm a professional puppeteer.
Just like that.
Just like that.
So you said something really beautiful before we were recording and kind of when we were going back and forth about how puppetry in particular transcends any kind of weird borders or race or all of that. Will you tell me about your experience with that?
I had the beautiful opportunity to travel internationally for puppetry. I've gone to Poland. I've been to Bulgaria. I've been to Israel, Japan. And in all of these places, you see remarkable storytelling utilizing puppets as the medium. And puppets are so expressive. And it's really this kind of sacred art form. Puppets rely upon breath. So you breathe life into the puppet and you really almost need no language. So you can sit there in a theater surrounded by people who speak 15 different languages, and there is story being communicated because we're breathing life into this inanimate object. And so it's just amazing. It's mystifying. It's really kind of this like sacred magic. And I've seen people from all ages, you just really get pulled into it. And one of the best examples that I have is that I watched a Russian performance of the Odyssey. It was two men and I think something like 60 something puppets.
Wow.
And they told the story of the Odyssey in Russian. I don't speak a word of Russian, but I understood everything because it's all about expression. It's all about movement. And so it really is something that goes beyond language. And that was the first time, other than dance, I think dance does that pretty well, and clowning. So puppetry is kind of in the middle there. It takes the dance and movement element and the clowning element, and it puts it into story. And puppets can do what humans can't do. You know, they can fly through space. They can age in a minute. They can do so much that humans can't do. And I think that's why it's transcendent. It takes your imagination to places that we wouldn't necessarily allow ourselves.
Yeah, because I think as an audience member, you accept that this is an inanimate object and you're going to buy whatever it tells you. So as long as that contract is in place, you're in business, right? Like, I just accept that the puppet is the performer, so you can do what you will with that.
Exactly. And we can play with scale. I saw in Prague, I saw an amazing marionette show where the marionettes themselves were incredible. But the thing that blew my mind was when a human body came on stage, all of a sudden breaking that
like,
scale. Yeah, it's really mind-boggling and it's really fun. And there's an element of puppetry that's always about playfulness that I as a performer really relate to, because I think that if we're not having fun and we're not playing, then we're not doing it right. And puppets allow us to play plus.
That's true. Aside from performing and interacting, you also make puppets. I've never seen so much trash turned into treasure. Or like how you have this appreciation for water bottles.
I do. I love water bottles. I really, really do. Save all your water bottles. They're the best material. So many people in El Paso know my mom, who is Amy Lance, who is a party decorator. So I had this amazing experience of growing up in a house of always making props and centerpieces. And so my mom always challenged us to be good problem solvers. So we were always looking for a way to solve a problem. And when I started puppetry, I did not consider myself an artist other than an actor, because everything I made, I hated. I'm not good at painting. I'm not good at drawing. It's not something that comes naturally to me. But I had a problem. I needed to make a puppet and I didn't want to spend money on materials. So I decided, okay, this is the box I'm going to create for myself. I'm going to only use recycled material. I'm going to make a puppet that moves this way, and I'm going to see what happens. And it turns out that giving myself that kind of box to create within is very successful for me. So I started only creating out of recycled material. One, because I think that we as artists have a responsibility to be helping in the environmental crisis we find ourselves in. And so I want to minimize my impact as much as possible. So using recycled material checks off that box. But the other thing is that when I started building out of recycled material, these are really strong materials. Almost all puppets break. So there's actually a job in puppetry called the puppet wrangler, which I've been, which is the person that needs to take care of the puppets. And when you make them out of felt and fur and foam, they break very, very easily. And I wanted to make something that was like indestructible. So I started making puppets out of water bottles, and I created a very simple mechanism that is almost foolproof. It doesn't break. It can be fixed very easily if need be, and it can be used for a variety of different kinds of styles of puppets. So yeah, that's what I love to do. And any person who approaches me about building for them, I have to inform them that that's my aesthetic. I like using recycled material. I like using paper. And that's the way that I choose to build.
So you gave me the perfect segue into Alebrije. So we will be talking to your partner later about the work, but let's talk about the puppet piece of Alebrijes.
In our world, we go to the land of the dead. And so what better way to transcend storytelling than to bring in some puppets and to play with scale? So we have a miniature puppet that resembles our main character. And what we can do with this puppet is we can take him everywhere. We can have him flying through the air. We can have him in the ocean. And so that was really one of the reasons why we wanted to do it, is because we wanted him to be able to go on this really epic journey. And we just can't do that with a human body. So that was the first reason why we wanted to use puppets. But the other is that in Dia de los Muertos, as I researched and learned, puppets are actually a part of the tradition. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful part of the tradition. You're invoking your ancestors. You're creating something that might look like them so that they can recognize their family. And even talking about it, I get chills, because this is part of the sacred art form. We want to bring in those energies, and we want to bring in the spirits. And actually, just last night, I was paper macheing the hands of our Muerte puppet. So we always make this larger than life Muerte puppet. And I was using the UTEP prospector. And as I'm tearing and I'm paper macheing, I realized that I was using the edition that was dedicated to Dr. Natalicio.
How beautiful.
So yeah, we're going to be painting it. Nobody will know.
But she's in there.
But she's there. She literally has a hand in it. The entire hand is for Dr. Natalicio. And so that's the extra element and the layering of meaning that I love with puppets, is that we're also taking the tradition and putting it into the show.
It's beautiful. Well, Mindy, I'm sad to say that we're out of time. But Mindy, I appreciate so much you taking the time to talk puppetry with us. Today, my guest has been Mindy Escobar-Liance, puppeteer and talented woman extraordinaire. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.